Man, so the other day I was giving my daughter a bath. I was drying her off afterward, putting on her lotion and everything. She decided to tell me that her pajana was cold.
What is TWS Podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast, I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS Podcast?
One's ready.
I feel like the end is staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts I'm going to try to take.
They ain't ready.
Oh, I swam for miles, only to realize the current is fighting against me, and I'm so tired. Floating out. Oh, from here on out, I've got to realize the power of
learning to let go.
Yeah.
Just let God.
Look,
enjoy the ride.
Born in the pain, alcoholic veins, over analytical brain.
A product of the shame. All right, people. Man, it has been a long time, but once again, it's your boy, J.D.R. Flan. I'm representing the White Pants Society, and you are tuned into the What Is TWS Podcast. Yes, you heard me correctly. We're back. When I say we, I mean me. Right now, Rich is not here, and that's pretty much all I'm going to say about that. Rich is my brother. I love him. Whatever's happening right now, I wish him the best. And if he ever decides, you know, to address what it is or make his way back to the show, we'll be ready to do that. But for right now, all you got is me, so you got to deal with it. That was a clip from Sojourner off of Rhapsody's new album. For those of you who don't know, which should be all of you, Rhapsody is my new celebrity crush, and you will be hearing lots about her in upcoming episodes. I probably won't stop talking about her at all, because Rhapsody is just... If I could just talk, I'm just saying, Rhapsody, you just beautiful in every way, talented. Been listening to her a lot lately. Been listening to her a lot lately. Getting my bars up. Maybe one day I can impress her with some of my lyrical abilities. Me a starter. Friendship. See where it goes from there. Anyway, enough about that. I know it's been a long time since I talked to you guys, and I definitely missed you. And I guess the first thing I should do after confessing my love for Rhapsody would be to catch you up on what's happening to me, or what's happened to me. And I don't want to get into the minutia of the story just yet. You'll hear about it over the course of a couple of episodes. But to give you the kid-friendly version, basically what happens is when a mommy bear and a daddy bear love each other very much, they move to Texas and they have a little baby bear. They get married as well. But see, if daddy bear doesn't take care of his issues, then he starts to self-medicate, and that causes a problem for mommy bear and baby bear. Eventually, it causes a broad problem for daddy bear's boss. He loses the ability to hold a job. And mommy and baby bear don't necessarily feel safe around him. He eventually loses everything, job, family, home. Maybe even is homeless for a little bit. He starts to feel like, I don't know, maybe mommy bear and baby bear would be better off without him. But eventually, he ends up in rehab. It's a little too late at this point. So he and Mommy Bear get a divorce. Daddy Bear gets out of rehab, gets back on his feet, and goes to live with 9 other daddy bears that are all trying to get their lives back together. And that's it in a nutshell. Anyway, I'm here, and I'm good. So let's get into it. Man, I just want to say that I missed y'all a lot. I missed this. I really feel like this is... it's my calling. It's what I'm good at. I feel like I'm good at it. Fuck you if you don't. Anyway, but I enjoy doing it, and I really, really miss talking to y'all, even if you never say anything back. Like, I don't know. I have some sort of love for the invisible people I conversate with ever so often. Thank y'all for putting up with my shit and listening to everything that I have to say. And one day it'd be dope if you spoke back and we could have a conversation. But if you never do, I'm always loving. Now, I do love you, but I'm a little pissed at y'all right now. I'm a little, like, pissed at taking it lightly. Y'all some despicable motherfuckers. Y'all are pretty much, y'all some just hateful, ungrateful, evil sons of bitches. Like, I don't understand how people who consider themselves to have any moral fiber could do something like this, like what you guys have done to me for the past 37 years. For 37 years, I have always been about the seven chuckles, way before the fucking Cat Williams joint came out. I needed something to smile about on a daily basis. And most of the time I was laughing at y'all when I found my something to smile about, but y'all was holding on to a secret that was maybe the funniest shit I have ever heard in my life. And I cannot believe that you people who say you give a semblance of a fuck about me couldn't be aware of this secret and hold on to it for so long. Why the fuck didn't y'all tell me about the McGangbang? Like, seriously, though. Like, there's a thing called the McGangbang, and nobody felt the need to, like, hit me to it. Nobody could see the joy in my soul I would get out of knowing of the existence of such a thing. The McGangbang, my nigga? Like, the McGangbang. Seriously? And it's real? Like, it's not a joke. It's not something that you said just to get a laugh out of your boys. Like, nah, it's an actual thing. The McGangbang. Have you ever had a McGangbang? Like, you see the layers of hilarity, right? Like, there's nowhere you can go wrong in your discussion of the McGangbang and not find something funny about it. It's beautiful. It's poetry. It's the McGang. I can't stop saying it. McGangbang. It's beautiful. And it's real. Here's my suggestion. Find yourself not a significant other, but just a random person you're attracted to. I was about to say member of the opposite sex, but I'm trying to grow up. I'm trying to be, you know, a part of this new world. Random person that you have some romantic interest in. And let's not say first date, because the first date at McDonald's would be pretty fucked up. But let's say somewhere down the line, before shit has gotten like 100%, like this is us type situation, I want you to go to McDonald's. Take this person to McDonald's and right in front of them order two McGangbangs and just see where the conversation goes. I think relationships would work out better if everybody tried it. Just see where the conversation goes. Just get a McGangbang, you know. If they don't know what it is, maybe describe it to them. It's a McDouble with a hot and spicy chicken patty in the middle. It explodes in your mouth with flavor. Like, just, you know what I'm saying? See how open they are to such a thing. If they cool with the McGangbang or not, I'd try it out. I'm just saying. You know, and if you haven't followed any of my recent shit, you know, Jay's been lending me his platform. Jay from Just Say Words, the Pod Dealers Network, and Saturday Series. He does a little bit of everything. But, yeah, he's been lending me his platform so I can still get out there and talk to the people. And I've talked on there about working at McDonald's recently because, yeah, you know, daddy bears, when they get out of rehab, sometimes have to take jobs at McDonald's. Flip burgers, and it was a dope experience actually. If they paid me enough, I'd still be there. Like, if you could just make a shit ton of money at McDonald's, like, I wouldn't mind the work. It just doesn't pay daddy bear type bills. So here the fuck I am. Well, this don't pay daddy bear type bills either, but anyway, but I was working there and it's just amazing. Like, so I'm in there, I'm flipping burgers, I'm doing the quarter pounders, man, like the real beef type shit. And like, it comes over the little headset, like, do we still have McGangbangs? And I was like, shh. You know, they just caught me for a second. I was like, hey, like I lost the work voice for a minute. I wasn't exactly sure how I was supposed to respond to that. And so I didn't say nothing. I just froze. And it was like, yeah, did you hear me? Like, do we have any gangbangs? Like, do you really want me to answer this question? Like, first of all, I'm unaware if we still have them. I didn't know y'all was ever having them. And I think I could have gone without ever knowing that if the McGangbang is just something y'all are all about. Like, you really could have left that out and that would have been cool. I ain't know what to say. And the dude next to me, I think, like, was catching on, and I'm like, what the fuck is they talking about? And he's like, yeah, nah, McGangbang is a McDouble with the shit in the middle, you know, blah, blah, blah. He told me the whole explodes in your mouth flavor, that, you know, I can't take credit for that one. But it's just amazing how, like, dudes, like, Texas dudes and trucks and shit will pull up and order a McGangbang and put it in their mouth and shit. Like, it's nothing, you know. This is the world we live in. I got to get used to it. But I don't know. I know somebody out there knew that there was a McGangbang. I know there are people who are aware of the existence of such a thing. And you people, there's a special place in hell for you people for keeping this from me. The fucking McGangbang, my God. I don't even eat, like, hamburgers and shit, but I just want to order one just to see, like if the person that's working there knows about it, like, I didn't know about it, and, like, if we can have that conversation. If it wasn't trademarked, I'd make a shirt, like, the McGangbang. Do you understand this? Anyway, I digress. Your boy Scootin' now. I think I've talked about Scootin' Revolution, and I've joined it. And I even went out and purchased my own. I'm not doing the bird or the lime or any of that shit. Excuse me, let me get a little quick drink. Got me some bubblies. The sparkling water. I'm not trying to say I'm in here with no champagne. But anyway, I bought me a scooter. And I'm out here scooting. I scooted my way down to Baskin Robbins today and got me a sundae and then scooted back on. It may have been by far the gayest shit I've ever done, but I had fun. So fuck it though. I'm enjoying scooting. But the crazy thing about it is, like, I'm 37 and I've never even ridden a bike. And so I do not understand this whole, like, balance thing and, like, keeping your balance and turning and shit like that. So I'm really, like, outside, black dude, tattoos, white neighborhood, scooter, big ass helmet, like, doing the shaky, wobbly, like, going -2 miles an hour on the sidewalk and, like, trying to get myself, like, hoping there was somebody behind me that could just let go at the right moment so I felt I had the confidence to keep going. Like, it's really one of those moments. Like, this is shit I missed as a child, like, learning these skills, and now I'm a grown-ass man with a podcast trying to learn how to ride a scooter. Like, I just had to let that sit in for a second. But I'm enjoying scooting. I got my scooter. I'm trying to, you know, get back and forth to the bus stop in the morning. I live, like, 2 miles from the nearest, like, train station. And so I'm trying to scoot to the train station in the morning and then scoot back home at night. But I haven't had the confidence yet to really scoot in traffic. You know, like, I get nervous scooting around other cars and things like that, but I'm going to get there. I can do, like, a straight line in the street. Amazingly enough, I cannot do a straight line on a sidewalk. Like, if you put grass on either side of me, I have to go that way. I don't get it. I really don't understand why it works that way, but that's been my scooting experience to this point. And other than scooting, how about the NFL? These segues are bad, I know. I haven't done this in a long time. I'm blessed that I still got the equipment and I know how to hook it up. We're going to get there with the segues. The NFL. So I've been thinking about this a lot recently because I'm a huge Jay-Z fan. So anybody knows me knows I'm a huge Jay-Z fan. When I was, you know, doing my quote-unquote rapper thing, you know, that's who I was aspiring to be. And so man, I see the news come out that Jay-Z's, you know, got this partnership with the NFL, and then, like, immediately Black Twitter and Black everything, like, just start shitting on Jay. I don't know what Dame said, but Dame must have said some crazy shit about him, and, like, he and Kaepernick had a bad conversation, and, like, it just really went left on, like Jay's just a capitalist, and it's all about the money, fuck the Black community, and blah, 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 you know. It's a lot of shit, and I don't know, like, you know, I just want to say, like, again, I'm a big fan. You can call me a fanboy if you want to. I'm a big fan of Jay-Z, so I know how this is going. I know it's going to come across like me just automatically defending them. The same way I was, like, shitting on people a couple years ago for coming up with excuses for Kanye and his dumbass comments. But I just feel with Jay's track record and the thing that he does without seeking publicity for him, if you go and look, you go and check his resume for real, like, he don't have a history of being like, fuck y'all, where the dollar at? He really don't. And if he wanted to make money, I believe there's got to be a million other ventures that he could go into rather than this thing with the NFL if it was all about money. I got to think that at least in his mind, he sees a gain for us in this, a gain for all of us, not just himself. And I'd like, you know, I feel like he deserves the benefit of the doubt to watch it play out and see what happens. I'd like to mention, I have seen zero Fuck Meek post anything for performing at the kickoff thing. Like, I guess he's still, like, enough of one of us. Like, Jay's transcended somehow. Like, I don't know. I mean, transcended sounds fucked up, but, you know. But, yeah, I think just people was looking for a reason to hate, and he gave them one. So here we go. But I think we should suspend judgment. A situation where we do not need to suspend judgment. And if you only listen to one thing in this podcast, I hope that this is it. I hope you get the seriousness in my voice when I speak on this subject. Antonio Brown is wilding out. And as a person with a myriad of mental disorders, I learned the word myriad in rehab, by the way. Shout out to you know who you are. I can't say your name. But I recognize, you know, people with mental issues. And this is not, you know, all receivers or divas or any of that. Or money or whatever has turned him into something that he wasn't. Nah, money just, you know, and fame has just given him more exposure to this. Or more people can see the way he acts. You know, anybody that cuts his hair that way and all that is not, that money don't do that to you. Money gives you the ability to do it. So there's some shit going on with AB, but deeper than that, like, if we let this shit slide, like, the way this is all played out is cool. We setting ourselves up. And let me explain to you what I mean. So if you don't know the whole situation with Antonio Brown, he apparently got into a disagreement with the GM. The initial reports was that he threatened to hit him. Like, he threatened to punch the GM in the face. And the Raiders were going to suspend him, fine him, whatever. They were upset about it. And the coach comes out and he's like, nah, you know, we're going to play him. It's going to be okay. Blah, blah, blah. Then further reports come out and that the real issue with the incident with him and the GM is that he called the GM, the white man, a cracker. Now, here's where it gets serious for me. So at the end of the day, the Raiders, you know, they voided his guaranteed money, and then they released him. And on the same day he got released, he gets signed by the Patriots. And, you know, he's tweeting, you know, his excitement and his, you know, his happiness. I think he even said something like, look how the Lord works. And, you know, now he's a Patriot. You know, he's on a Super Bowl contender. And when I say we got to watch how this plays out, because it's going to bite us in the ass if we pretend like this is all good, is that basically if you're telling me a black man in front of the team can call his white manager a cracker, and the end result is he plays that season for a Super Bowl contender, especially if he goes on to have a great season And I'm not wishing a bad season on him, but especially if he goes on to have a great season and the Patriots win another one, he gets a ring, and now he's a champion. If you're telling me that the end result of calling that man a cracker is that he goes to a Super Bowl contending team and has a great year, continues to get paid, continues to be AB, then we're setting precedent. We ain't going to have a whole lot that we can say if shit ever happens in the other direction. And trust me, like I've watched it already. They bringing Riley Cooper's name up. And if you don't remember Riley Cooper, he was the white Philadelphia wide receiver who got caught at a concert saying the N-word. And it was a whole lot of, I mean, that was a dust-up. That was whether he should play, whether he shouldn't play, should the Eagles re-sign him, should they cut him. There was a conduct, I mean, there was discussions about conduct, policy violations and all of that. I haven't heard any of that really in terms of AB. And if you're saying that the Raiders' punishment is enough to avoid it guaranteed money and it being released, a lot of people are looking at that like that was all part of the plan. But if we let this, if we pretend like this is cool, then we're not going to have a leg to stand on if the shit goes the other way. Like, it's really a bad precedent. You know, I think the NFL needs to step in and do something. You know, maybe Jay can leverage his shit to get him to do something. But it's going to look like Jay interfering to get a black man punished. But I'm telling you, if this goes down, like, it's cool. Like, it's nothing wrong with it. Like, he did it. It's fine. Now he gets to go on to play, win a Super Bowl this year. It's bad move. This is dangerous territory for us all. Just be careful about it. I know we, you know, I'll just be fucking careful. It's ugly. It's really, really ugly. I don't know. To lighten the mood on the NFL, I wanted to talk about, and this is not NFL, this is just football, but I posted it in our groups. If you ever get a chance to check out the White Pants Society group on Facebook, please do. But there's a kid, I don't know, I forget where he's from, but something wrong with his parents. This kid is named the coldest to ever do it, Crawford. And that's his first name, the coldest, middle name to ever do it, last name, Crawford. And again, I'm just going to say, like, if this is the game we want to play, if this is the game we want to play, it's cool. It's 100% cool. I can't stop nobody from doing this. If you want to take some words, misspell them, and throw some apostrophes in weird places and call it a name, that's your God-given right. Like, more power to you. But please understand that I'm going to get my seven chuckles in. I'm going to laugh my fucking ass off because it's hilarious. Your name is the coldest to ever do it. This puts a lot of pressure on you as a kid. Because you got to be the coldest to ever do something. And there ain't but a few things you can be the coldest to ever do it in. Like, I don't know how the coldest translates into other areas of life. But, you know, there's a couple of opportunities you got. But you can't ever be subpar. You have got to be the coldest. That's who you are. You was born to be the coldest to ever do it. It's fucked up, but it's true. Don't set your people up like this. I just had a person join my job named Deonce. I can only say this because I'm sure nobody on my job listens to this shit. But yeah, pretty much Beyonce with a D. Pause. But I'm gonna laugh my ass off because it's fucking funny. And I'm not trying to insult you, and I'm not trying to demean you. I don't wish you any harm. I don't wish, you know, I want you to have all the good things in life that you want. I wish you all the success you could ever have. But every time I hear your name, it's going to be funny to me. It's going to be a joke. You know, and that's just what it is. It is what it is. It's okay. If this is the game we're in, this is the world we live in, we just do your weird shit. Like, you can do whatever you want to do. You've always been able to do whatever you want to do. Problem is now people want to do whatever they want to do and they don't want nobody to have shit to say about it. And I'm like, that's where we got to disconnect. I'm not mad at you for doing whatever it is you want to do. I'm mad at you for doing it is whatever it is you want to do and then looking at me fucked up when I laugh my ass off about it because shit's funny. They named the nigga the coldest to ever do it. And you got to look up the spelling because that makes it funnier. Word. All right, I'm going to move on for that. I'm going to move on from that. From the coldest Indiana. Why is it, what is it with the D? Like, why did that become the first letter? Like, why did that become the, was it like the, and we decided to make it D? D'Anthony, D'Angelo, what is the D thing? I feel like there's some pauses I left out in there, but fuck it, you know, I'm just, somebody, if you don't, explain it to me. Help me out with this whole D apostrophe, or D-E, whatever. Like, what is it? Is it French? Like, what? I don't know. What is it? Fuck it, though. Hopefully, y'all forgive me for that. And that's, you know, this is my second attempt at a segue. Forgiveness is the thing I'm working on. So, I'm going to move into the part of the episode where I try to be inspirational. Forgiveness is something that I'm working on right now in my recovery. Setting up this stuff, sitting at this table, you know, plugging the microphone in and setting up this recording has been a big step for me in terms of that. And forgiveness is even a bigger step. I think a lot of my issues with addiction and substance abuse and just everything come from not knowing how to deal with the feelings that come with anger and hurt, not being able to let them go, not being able to forgive. But not knowing how to forgive. Because I feel like I want to forgive. Like, I don't want to feel this way. I just don't know how to do it. And people be like, let go, let God. Like, I don't know how to physically let go. But I'm like, in my head, I'm imagining my arms opening and the shit floating up. But the feeling ain't changing. You know, like, I need better explanations on how to do that. Like, that's not a physical act I can take. That's a mental act, and if I could control my mind, none of this shit would ever happen. Yeah? You feel me? So I've been talking to my mom a lot about forgiveness, and that's a big step for me, because for my mother to be that high on the list of people I go to, or to go to people in general when I'm not feeling a certain kind of way, is definitely a growth for me. And that's no diss on my mom. I don't talk to anybody when I'm going through shit. Like, I just, that ain't my thing. And it's hurt me, because I've gone to other places to get help that wasn't people, and they probably should have been. But anyway, talking to my mom's about forgiveness, and she sent me a text, and the text said, forgiveness is giving up the right to be angry or hurt. And man, I was fucking furious. Like, I was, that angered me so much. I was so hurt by that, and not hurt at, or angry at my mother for sending me the text. Like, I was hurt and angry because it was true. I was like, fuck, man. Like, I really gotta, like, as much as I say I don't want to be angry, I don't want to be hurt, I don't want to let go of the right to feel that way. I don't want to say you can do something to me and I have to be like, if I'm hurt, that's my problem. Like, I don't have the right to be hurt. If I'm hurt, I need to deal with that. That's not on you. I want, you know, I guess I want to be the victim, because I feel like I'm the victim. Like, this shit is real crazy. I feel like if you do something to me, I am the victim. Therefore, I deserve to be the victim. But being a victim is killing me. Because I have to give it up. I have to give up the right to be a victim. So, hope I didn't fuck y'all up with that one, because it fucked me up. Let me take a tote. By the way, fuck this mysterious vaping disease. That's the craziest shit in the world to me. The fact that you can... And people, please start reading articles. Like, read the whole article. Read the supporting documentation. Look into things. Don't read headlines and then start running to shit. Like, the fact that you can say, like, 250 people have possibly died from a mysterious disease linked to vaping, and then you read the article and they be like, yeah, you know, we don't know what the disease is or what's causing it. We just know it got to do with vaping. Like, the fact that you can say some shit like that, it's like, if I don't know why I'm late or what happened on the bus this morning. I just know it ain't my fault. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's insane. You can't say shit like that to people and it just be okay. And especially when you affecting people's health and lives, you pushing people away from a product that could, I'm gonna keep saying potentially safer. We know cigarettes are harmful. Like, we know you will die. Like, these are facts. For more than a decade now, they've been leaning on this argument that we don't know how harmful or harmless this product is. We don't know what the long-term effects are. Even though, like I said, we like a decade or more into this research, you know, and you're pushing people away from something that you keep saying you don't know how bad it is, and pretty much putting them right back in the hands of something that you do know how bad it is. You're not doing anything to try to get rid of that except for these truth commercials, and fuck y'all too. But you're not doing anything to get rid of that. People ain't talking about legislating that out of existence. There's no ban in Michigan against that. Like, word, like, for real. And the fact that you can put that in an article, like, we don't know what it is, we just know it's vaping. Like, bad science. The whole shit with the vitamin E and the THC and all that, like, bad science. People ain't vaping that shit. Or regular people ain't vaping that shit. If you go out, if you buy cigarettes from a dude who hand rolls them and you don't know what he's putting into them and you die, you can't put that on the tobacco industry. If you know what I'm saying? Like, if I go buy moonshine from the dude that I don't know his recipe, I ain't familiar with him, I just met him yesterday, you know, and I die, I can't blame that on the alcohol industry. And I'm not in any way defending alcohol or tobacco. I'm just saying, like, you go out and buy mystery products and mystery shit happens to you, then it ain't a mystery. We talking about stuff. Black money. They saying it in the article that these are like black market, you know, marijuana cartridges and shit that, you know, that they getting from whoever. It's not stuff you buying in regular stores. But anyway, I mean, I digress. The problem is you can't just be like, we don't know what the fuck it is. We just know it's vapor. That happens to me at work all the time. You know, I'm in IT, and the system that I use most of the time is not something that everybody's familiar with. And it happens all the time that something in the enterprise will break. And if you can explain everything else, if you know how everything else works, but you don't know how this thing works, like, oh, it got to be that thing. Like, I don't know what broke. I just know it had to be that thing. And that's what they're doing here. And it's fucking crazy. Like, I've been vaping for 6-7 years now. And I have no plans of stopping that because of no mysterious pneumonia. I went on a long ass rant about that. Fuck that. Let's get back. Let's get back. What else is there? All right. So, I mean, really, I guess I'm wrapping up at this point. What does the future hold for me? I got a lot of things that I'm trying to. I'm just getting back to being myself. I'm getting back to being creative. I'm getting back to writing. I'm all about Rhapsody. She got me in here putting bars up, you know, getting bars on the page again. I just sent something to my man today, just to show him that I'm still here, I'm still good, skill ain't left, you know. Put this equipment up, I'm doing the show again. I've been dealing with Jay, shout out to Jay just for being a brother, who ain't had no reason to be. Like, I'm taken back every time I think about it, like, you know, Jay from Just Say Words, like, this is just the dude I knew podcasting. Like, we talked on Facebook and Twitter, and I was on his show once, and then when he decided to do the podcast network, he reached out, and it was like, man, appreciate it. But then this was like, my personal life was going crazy, and this dude was really like checking in on me, like just hitting me up, like, man, you good? You all right? I haven't heard you. You know, the show's not out. What's going on with you? Like, you know, And I'll be telling him like crazy shit. If you listen to the episode I did with him, like I'll be like, yeah, man, I'm in a mental facility right now, but everything is cool. When I get out, I'm gonna have some stories to tell. I'm gonna come holler at you. Don't worry about it. And he was hearing this stuff and still like reaching out to me, you know, on a consistent basis. He's lent me his platform to help me get back in the groove of doing this and talking to y'all, and, you know, and make sure my voice is still out there. So, man, shout out to Jay. When I talk about, you know, being a light, you know, a lot of times I was in some very dark places, very, very, very dark places. And just like a text from a person who you know don't really have to care about you was a lot of light. And so a lot of times Jay was light for me. And I appreciate you. Love you for that, brother. So, yeah, you never know what your impact is in people's lives. Like, go out there and try to be the light. But there's going to be a lot coming from me. I'm going to be trying to be the light. I'm trying to tell you all my story. I'm working on a book. And the book really is just, you know, going to be, you know, my story. So hopefully if anything in there you can relate to, you can kind of see what can happen if you let it go unchecked, if you let things go without dealing with them, without talking to somebody. You can watch the progression of how you kind of fall down that spiral. And maybe you can, you know, you can stop yourself from before you hit the bottom. I'll share my whole journey with y'all in terms of self-publishing. I'm going to do it. This is what I've learned from podcasting, is that if you want to do something, if you have an idea and you just start doing it, you'll be amazed at the things you can get done. So I'm going to learn how to, I'm going to do this self-publishing thing. I'm going to get this book out there and y'all be ready. But other than that, again, I do want to say, as always, be safe, be the light. I love y'all. Y'all mean a lot. Just being able to do this and knowing it, if it ain't but 2-3 people here, you know, and take something from it and come back and listen again, like that's means everything to me. So I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. I'm about to rock out for a second. I hope y'all rock with me. But be safe. Be the light. Peace.
It's a dangerous necessity. It's a world famous mystery. Love.